Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Just believe it's right just to, rather than just getting straight into the message, God's the God who reminds. And he doesn't look back as in regret or that kind of looking back in terms of reminding, but he's the God who constantly reminds us. He reminds us of who he is, and he wants us to read his word because his word constantly reminds us of who he is. It reminds us of what he's done. And in relation to who he is and what he's done, it then shows us, done for us, that it shows us then who we are in relation to him. But it also reminds us what we can do as believers because he is in us. And the Lord knows how much in life we are faced with negativity, the culture, and all the pressures that there are out there in the world, and different people's opinions, and the narrative of whatever's going on out there. And he knows that his word is life to us. And so he reminds us because he knows how much we need to know who he is and who we are, and to live in the good of this so that we're not overcome by circumstances or by whatever's happening around our lives or in the nation or whatever is going on. Just to give a little bit of context, just in terms of reminding us, there's obviously quite a few people not here today. And in a few weeks' time, on the 27th, we have a really important moment when obviously Rohan and Anna, Pastor Rohan and Anna, are going to be stepping down from leading the congregation, and Pastor Victor is going to be kind of stepping into that role. And that morning's a really, really important morning for the Crawley congregation, for you guys, for the town, and what God wants to do in Crawley. Genesis chapter 1, we might not even get to the message today, okay? Because I just believe there's some things that God wants us to remind us, but also for us to understand as a people. So in Genesis 1, God creates mankind, brings him into relationship with him. And it says there that he blessed them. And then he said to them to basically go and to fill the earth, increase, multiply. And God, they were full of God's glory. They were in perfect relationship, even full of his glory. And he wanted them, through that initial family, to fill the earth with a family. And it's the family of God. And that family to be filled with the glory of God. And so we see right at the beginning of Genesis that he wanted to send his people to fill the earth with his glory, with who he is. Now, we know what happened, and they sinned or whatever, and it broke that relationship, and sin started to fill the earth instead of the glory of God in that sense. But then God, because he loves people, we obviously know the story where Noah hears God build an ark. I'm going to flood the earth and I'm going to deal with everybody. And so he does that, and he makes a covenant with Noah when he comes out of the ark that he wants to bless all the peoples of the earth through him, in the same way He wanted to fill the earth with his glory. He was like, through Adam and Eve, he's like, I'm going to start again. And I want to fill the earth again through your descendants. So we understand that the nations of the world came from the sons of Noah, okay, as they went out. And what we see here, God's love for the nations, for the people of the earth, because they were dispersed because of the Tower of Babel. They wanted to build a tower, make a name for themselves and all of that stuff. And so God came amongst them, confusing with their languages. They were spread throughout the earth. But because God loves the people, he then raised up a guy called Abraham. And he spoke to Abraham and he said, I'm going to bless you. And there is a people that are going to come through you that I'm going to bless. And they will be a blessing to all the peoples. Because God didn't really call them nations. He called them peoples then, okay? And so he said, I want you to be a blessing to all the peoples. So with Abraham, the whole thing there was, I want to send you. There's going to be a nation that comes through you, but I want you as a nation to be a blessing to the people. So there's still a sending going on here, okay? So the whole idea is the people of Israel will be a blessing to the peoples of the earth, the nations, because he wanted to send them to show through them what God was like, okay? So there's this sending thing that's going on. Then we come to Jesus. Jesus was the Word made flesh, okay? So God sent the Word to become flesh so that the Word in the flesh made Jesus, the Word flesh was Jesus. Jesus then came to show who the Father was. If you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. If you know me, then you know the Father. So the Father sent the Word to become flesh in Jesus. And then what did Jesus say when he began to call disciples? He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And at one point he said, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you, okay? So there's this kind of thing of sending all the way from Genesis, Adam and Eve, all the way through to the people of Israel, now coming into Jesus coming, bringing salvation. He says to those early the disciples, and I'm going to send you in the same way that the Father sent me. So the Holy Spirit comes, baptizes them on the day of Pentecost. And the first thing that happens is thousands of people get born again. Because the whole nature of God is to send his people to influence, impact, reach the world. Now, the first 8 years or so, the church was in Jerusalem. It was growing, it was thriving. Even the religious leaders, the Pharisees and all of those guys, you know, brought in Peter and some of the other apostles and they threatened them, stop preaching this way, stop preaching, they've got all of this stuff. But they couldn't help it. They had to because they just... the fire of God in them and knowing Jesus was more powerful than the culture of the day, the religious opposition of the day and all of that that was going on. And so they then started to be persecuted for their faith and they suddenly started going beyond Jerusalem and the surrounding area into surrounding nations and throughout the earth. So there's this sending narrative. Now, so what we understand is... what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to be the people of God, okay, the church? Well, the church means a people called out, okay, of a culture, out of the way the world is, to be set apart, to live in a different way, okay? But then what is the purpose of the church? Obviously, it's to know him. But then Jesus gives the Great Commission to go and make disciples so that the essence of the church is to be apostolic, okay? Do you all understand what that word means? Apostolic. Now, the word apostolic means to be sent or one that is sent, okay? Jesus was, he was apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He was all of those, okay? But he was our apostle, our great, that had been sent to come with the gospel of the kingdom so that we could come into the kingdom. So, the word apostle is a Roman word, okay, it's a Greek word. And the Romans, to extend their empire, what they would do is they would send an apostle or apostles, so sent ones, okay? So they would send people that carried the culture and the lifestyle and all of that of Rome, and wherever they went, the purpose was to establish the culture of Rome. So if you visited whatever place it was that they'd established this, it was like you were in Rome, because their culture and their way of life, some of it obviously not very good, would be to overtake wherever it was, okay? Now, Jesus used the word, raised up apostles, okay, because he understands to be an apostle, you're a sent one, and therefore to be apostolic as a people, you are those who are sent. You're sent with a mission. You're sent with a purpose, okay? And so... What does it mean then if the church is supposed to be apostolic, those who are sent? What does that mean? It means that we are carriers of the kingdom of God, the life of who Jesus is. And we are in Crawley, in this context, in Crawley, we are to see God's kingdom come in this town. Okay? There are lots of other things operating in Crawley, okay? Spirit of Islam, okay? Which ultimately is not a religion, okay? It's a spirit, and it's a governmental spirit that wants to dominate and control, okay? That's the reality of it. That there's a spirit, okay? That wants to rule and dominate in Crawley, wants to take over. There are other things operating in Crawley, the spirit of this age, and all that that looks like, okay, in terms of the whole sexual identity things. There's loads of stuff, okay? Anything that doesn't come from the Spirit of God, okay, any other operation spiritually is anti-God, okay? Why I'm trying to talk like this is because I haven't got a beam upon it. I don't want to preach this. I just believe God wants us to understand some things, okay? Why this is really, really important. How we see who God is, what he's done, what he's done for us, and who we are then as a believer, and what this means for us to believe, what we have in us, okay? So... what does it mean to be the church in a place? It means that we are living as sent ones on a mission with a purpose, with a kingdom purpose, okay? And we're here to see God's kingdom rule and reign come, okay? Now, what did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is not over there or over here, but the kingdom of heaven is within you, okay? So if there's a kingdom, there must be a king. Where there's a king, there must be rule and reign. So when Jesus comes into our lives, we respond to the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel that Jesus came with was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the gospel of salvation, repent of your sin, believe in Jesus to be saved, but it also talks about Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, okay? So he not only saves us from our sin, he wants to be Lord, okay? So Lord means number one. And we come into his kingdom. So the gospel is the doorway into the kingdom of God. You now have the kingdom of God within you. And if we have the kingdom within you, we have the king in us, right? The king of this kingdom. And so how does God extend his kingdom? He extends his kingdom by someone giving their life to him, surrendering everything to him, and he becomes Lord of their lives. He becomes number one. He becomes the king of their life. So he is now on the throne of our lives, not us. Before we were saved, we were on the throne. And part of that salvation is God is saving us from ourselves, saving us from sin, saving us from a sinful nature that controlled our lives. And he changes that sinful nature and now puts his nature in us, the nature of Christ in us, by the Holy Spirit at work in us, okay? And so what is primarily the Holy Spirit for? So you are born again of the Spirit. So Jesus said you're born of water, natural life, but you're also born of the Spirit in order to be born again. Now that's a work of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be born again. But then what God does, he then wants to baptize us in his Spirit. What does that mean? It means to empower us with his Spirit to actually be the people he's called us to be. Now, in the New Testament, especially Paul the Apostle, in a lot of his teaching about who you are in Christ and what it means to be a believer, we only have one word for you, Y-O-U, in English. And sometimes we don't know how to differentiate between what it's saying in there, between the individual and then the body. Most of what Paul talks, the word you in a lot of his letters when he's writing to a church in a particular place, in the language that he was writing in, the word you most of the time is plural, not just an individual. So when he's talking about who you are in Christ, most of the time he's not just saying about who you are, he's saying who you are. So who we are together in Christ. We have a very individualistic Western mindset that's very much about the individual. And part of being saved is I have been crucified. There's a cross somewhere. I have been crucified with Christ, okay? I no longer live. So what I was going to do was have this cross and have who we are in Christ here and then a chair that represented our old life. We used to be here living in ourselves. But because of the cross, we were separated from God, Jesus came in the gap and our sin was crucified with Christ. But also we were crucified with Christ. It wasn't just our sins he took to the cross. He took us to the cross. So the I, the me, the old self that was run and dominated by the sinful nature, that sinful nature was taken to the cross. So when we repent, we are repenting of our sin and all the stuff. But why do we need to surrender so that he becomes Lord? That's where Jesus in his lordship is taking away that sinful nature, and his nature is now in us so that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places and we now have his nature in us. So the power of, we're no longer a slave to sin any longer. We're no longer a victim of sin anymore. He's dealt with all the guilt and shame and everything else on the cross so that we now live in Christ Jesus and can be the people together he's called us to be. So here, he is the head and we are the body because we're brought into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is a sent people. The people are living on a kingdom mission, kingdom purpose, okay? So God has put all the resources of heaven on the inside of each of us. And together as a people, we have all the resources of heaven in us, amongst us together, for the purpose that he has sent us for. Are you with me? Is this making sense? Okay. So one of the things that God is speaking about at the moment, prophetically to the church, not just Kingdom Faith, but to the church. My wife and I probably half our time is the church in the area, the congregations, okay? The other half is the wider aspect of who we are as Kingdom Faith, okay? God has called Kingdom Faith as an apostolic people, okay? My dad, Pastor Colin, some of you would have known him, remembered him. He passed away a few years ago. Some of you might not have ever met him. But he was the founder of Kingdom Faith. He was a vicar in the Anglican Church in the late 60s and 70s. They had a move of the Spirit in the church there. And in the nation, there was a move of the Spirit through the 70s called the Charismatic Movement, the Renewal, as it was called, in the 70s into the 80s. And the church came alive. All the people in the church got born again, filled with the Spirit. And one of the marks about the church was this love for one another, laying down their lives for each other. And I was only really young when I can remember some things, but there was a mark of love about the people. And people would come and say, "What? Where did you get that love? Where did you get that love?" And it's like, people were like, "What?" And because they've been born again, filled with the Spirit, there was this love of the Spirit for people, for those within the church, but also people who didn't know the Lord. And the church was on quite it was on a council housing estate, which we don't sort of seem to have in the same way these days, and very needy area. And people from the house started getting born again, started getting healed and set free. And most of that was happening through the people, okay, the way they were living their lives. And when you read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and you see in there the early church, they were devoted to the word, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. They really were living that life. And even some of the men in the church came to my dad at one point, and they used to get wage packets then, you know, like a wage at the end of the week with cash in it. You know, that's the way you used to get paid back then. There was no digital banking or anything like that. You got a wage packet with cash in it. And some of the men came to my dad and said, we've been talking and we've been praying and we believe the Lord's saying to us as men that we're to bring our wage packet every week to the church, put everything in to the offering, and only take what we need for our family, but for you as the vicar to distribute in whatever way you think where people need it. Now, my dad was like, "Hey, guys, hang on. I'm not asking you to do that. That makes me really uncomfortable that you're..." And they said, "No, we've been reading it in the book of Acts. And what we're reading is what God's doing amongst us," right? And so it was a work of the Spirit. It was something that God was doing, okay? It's just an example of the love that was going on, right? And so Kingdom Faith, my dad started traveling, getting invites to speak all over the world. And Kingdom Faith was sort of born at the end of the 70s. And it was more of a community of people then for quite a number of years. And very much sharing life. Nobody got salaries. It was what God provided, and people going out in ministry all around the UK to different nations. And it was phenomenal what God was doing and how he was moving. But at the heart of that was a people who loved one another, who lived sharing their lives together, okay? But with a sense of we're sent on a purpose. And right at the beginning, God was saying that Kingdom Faith is along with others, is to be like a catalyst for revival within the church, and that you're to live as a sent people, an apostolic people on a kingdom mission, if you want to use that sort of phrasing, okay? But really understand, you're sent with a purpose. And so I can't remember what you guys have heard and what I spoke about in Horsham recently, in terms of God reminding us of who we are as a people. And one of the things in the DNA of us is to be a people of prayer, to be a people of worship. And that's outside of what happens in a meeting. It's what happens in our lives, that we're given to the Lord in worship and prayer. We're a people of the word, that we want to live this thing. We believe it, we pray it, declare it, speak it. We want to bring other people in to the living reality of who God is. And a people of the Spirit, you know, Word and the Spirit together, so important, okay? So one of the things that God is saying at this time to the church is to awaken to Him in a fresh way. Genesis 28 with Jacob. His father was Isaac. His grandfather was Abraham. Wow, pretty good inheritance, eh? That family line. God made covenant promises to Abraham. He reiterated them to Isaac. And Jacob knew that he was part of this heritage line, this covenant line of the people of God. So he would have known of God, known God in some way. He would have understood the covenant promises. But then one day he was on his way somewhere, and it said that he stopped, and he called it a certain place. Stopped in a certain, had no, it was just a certain place. Didn't really mean anything, just a place. Gets a rock, puts it down as a pillow, not the most comfortable way to sleep. But anyway, he goes to sleep, has a dream. In the dream, there's a vision. And most of you will know this. Heaven was open, angels descending and ascending, okay? And in that, he encountered God. And God spoke to him in that dream. Then he woke up, and it says he awoke. And he was like, wow, I didn't realize that God was in this place. He said, I just thought it was a certain place. But then he said, "This now, because God is here, this is an awesome place." And what he then did, he then took the stone, put it on some other stones, poured oil on it and anointed it. And then he prayed and responded. And if you read what it says there in Genesis, he basically consecrated himself to the Lord, he consecrated his life to Him and everything he had. And going forward, said, "I'm going to give you the first tenth of everything that you know I have as, along the way." So he consecrated himself to the Lord. But the important thing is, that's important. He consecrated himself, but he awoke. Now he knew God, but he was awakened to God in a way that he'd never seen God. And at this time, God is awakening His church. During the week of prayer and fasting a few weeks ago, quite a number of people during the week said they kept hearing this bell ringing, this bell, massive bell, this bell ringing. And it was like this bell was ringing to get our attention. It was like, "Hey guys, I'm trying to get your attention. Awake. This time that you're in is a hinge moment." You know, you can have huge doors, and massive doors can move on little hinges, can't they? And our responding to God at any time in our own lives personally, or when God is speaking to the church and He's saying, "Hey church, you're my body. You're part of the bigger picture of what I'm doing, and every life is important." And when He's speaking, we want to make sure we respond so that His word is like a hinge. When we respond, either we open the door or we don't open the door in terms of how we respond. And God is speaking to His church to awake. There's a lot going. If you think about the church across the UK, all the different things that are being talked about, debated, everything else, He's calling His church back to Himself, to awaken, calling it the church back to intimacy, but understanding that we're here as a sent people. And part of living as a sent people is that we consecrate ourselves, that we're not distracted by the things of the world, by other stuff. Why do we want to meet with God? Why do we want to continually encounter God? Because that enables us to continue to see Him and Him reveal who He is. So God works by revelation. What does that mean? That reveals something. So So God works by revelation to reveal who he is, to reveal what he's saying. When there's revelation, you see something in a different way. Because revelation opens your eyes. Revelation can wake you up to something. And he's awakening his church, firstly afresh, to himself. This is who he is. Wow. Being a believer is not... And I believe he's awakening his church in a fresh way to move us, to wake us up from where any of us might have just got used to living our Christian life in a certain way. I might go to church, I might do this, I might do that. And in any way in which we've settled. And you know when you meet with God in a fresh way, you come alive to him in a fresh way and you're like, wow, God, this is who you are. And however God has revealed himself to you, that's how you'll relate to him. That's how you'll see yourself. So if you meet with God in his love and he overwhelms you with his love, something happens in you and you're like, wow, God's love is, it's amazing how much he loves me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you meet with God in his majesty, for example, you realize, wow, God is, he is king, he is Lord, he's on his throne, he's majestic, wow, you know. If God in some way shows you that he is mighty, right? It's like, God, you are mighty. You are unequaled, unrivaled. Man, you're a mighty warrior. Are you with me this morning? Right? I'm not doing anything that I felt. I just believe it's important that we understand that if there's any way in which we've just got into and I'm talking to myself here, because this isn't just this morning for you guys. This is, God is speaking to his church at this time, okay? That we are awakened to him in a fresh way. That, like Jacob, he heard from God then in a fresh way. And his response to being awakened and to hearing God in a fresh way, he then consecrated himself in a fresh way and set himself apart for God and his purposes in a fresh way, okay? So part of being a sent people is to be a people that worship and pray. Ascend, if we can use that word, the mountain of the Lord, okay? But there's also another part where the Great Commission is go and make disciples. How many of you have heard a phrase, highway of holiness? Have you ever heard that phrase before? In the Bible, okay? It's in a number of different places, Isaiah 35, number of different places in the Psalms. And some of it relates to once Jesus has come back, there'll be a highway of holiness that we live on that nothing can get up on it unless it's, you know, in relationship with God. But also it does refer to the way that we live as believers, that God wants us to live on his highway of holiness, the narrow way, if I can put it that way, that Jesus talks about. And have you guys... heard the vision that I had a couple of months ago about the highway of holiness in the harvest? Has anybody heard that vision? How many have not heard that? Just put your hands up. Okay. In essence, just want to share this with you, okay? Because this is... a couple of months ago, I felt the Lord say, I want you to come and pray one afternoon. So I went, I had a busy day. It was like, this is probably not the best time to go and spend the afternoon praying, but... you know when the Lord tells you to do something, I better do it. So I went to the building in Horsham, went to a room, started to pray. Started praying in tongues. Or started to worship first, but then began to pray in tongues. And it was praying really strong in tongues, okay? It wasn't just walking up and down a gentle little thing. It was like really strong in tongues. And God gave me a vision that took about an hour and a half to unfold, okay? Not because it was a long vision. It was just that he showed me different sections of this vision as I was praying to understand more fully what was going on, okay? It wasn't that it took an hour and a half to unfold this. It wasn't like a film, a movie that took that long. And so I began to pray, praying in tongues, and however long into that, I realized I was on the side of a mountain, a rock face. But I was on the side of this mountain, but I was ascending and I was praying, but it wasn't me climbing the mountain and just praying while I was trying to climb this thing. I was on the side of this mountain, but it was the prayer that was enabling the ascending. And I realized, hang on a minute, this is the mountain of the Lord. And when I looked up, I thought, wow, there's still quite a way to go to the top of this mountain. But there was a long way down too, long way up. And I saw this huge cascade of water, this river, of just coming out of the top of this mountain. And I just knew at that moment, that's the Holy Spirit being released. The Holy Spirit is being released, the river of life, the river, and carried on praying. And as I was praying, I felt the Lord say, look behind you. And as I looked behind me, I saw this vast harvest field, as far as you could see in any direction, vast harvest field. And as I then carried on praying, I felt the Lord say to me, the prayer, so this prayer was strong and had a different, and during the 2 hours, it had different expressions of tongues, different types of tongues, different expressions of tongues. What I felt the Lord say is this, the prayer is establishing a highway of holiness in the harvest. Okay? A highway of holiness in the harvest. So I just carried on praying. And as I was praying, I felt the Lord say to me, the harvest has no home, no habitation. It's like when someone doesn't know God, God's not in their lives. There's no habitation of God in their lives. So just continue to pray, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And then I felt the Lord say, I'm calling my church to this kind of prayer. And it's only this kind of prayer that is going to get the job done. The spade and wheelbarrow prayer won't get the job done. I mean, that's what I felt the Lord say to me, spade and wheelbarrow prayer. And what I understood then was that just often, and I'm not, and by saying this, it doesn't mean this kind of prayer is not right and we shouldn't pray like this, okay? That when we just pray with one or two others and we're like, Father, we just thank you for this person. We want to bless them. We thank you for their salvation. We ask you to reveal who you are to them. That's still fine, okay? But what the Lord was saying is, in terms of the scale of what he wants to do, the kind of prayer that is needed is earth-moving prayer. So when I looked down at one point while I was praying, I could see the beginnings of this highway coming out of the bottom of the mountain of the Lord. And when I saw this, there were huge earth-moving machines, massive things that were just moving incredible amounts of dirt to make way for this highway that was going out. I'm trying to cut a long story short. And so I continued to pray, and basically what began to happen is this highway went out as far as you could see and then began to go out in other directions, basically into the nations. And what I felt the Lord saying is this kind of prayer, this earth-moving prayer, I'm calling my church to, it shifts things in the spirit, changes things in the spirit over a community, a town, a village, a city, okay? And I'm calling my church to pray in this way because this is what is needed for the breakthroughs, for the harvest. And as I continue to watch, I look around at different points, I began to see people walking on the highway of holiness. And I understood, from what I could see, I understood that the people who'd been praying and ascending in that way, giving themselves, consecrating themselves like that, were the ones that were walking on the highway. That they were people who prayed, but they were also people who were going. This sending thing, this apostolic thing, to be a sent people. And an apostolic people are not just a sent, they're a praying people who then go. And what I began to see was people getting pulled out of the harvest field, and what looked like just wheat get blown around in the wind. People were coming out, and what I began to see all over this scene, you know, when God shows you something, you don't quite understand how you see everything, you know, because we can only see a certain distance here in the room or if you look outside. But looking at this scene, it was as if I could see all across this harvest field going into the nations, the amount of people getting saved, getting healed, getting delivered, getting set free. It was like a move of God that you just couldn't even imagine. And you could even hear the sound of it. The sound of freedom, the sound of celebration, the sound of victory. It was just like, wow. I was watching it. It's like, wow, God, you are on the move. And it was like this understanding, this is an end time harvest. Yeah. End time harvest. But to get the job done, I'm calling my people to give themselves to prayer, but also give themselves to go. And what that's going to mean and look like. And as all that activity was going on, there were still some people who heard the gospel who turned around and said, don't want to know, not interested. It was like, wow, how could anybody say no to God? But yet there were people in the harvest field saying, sorry, not interested, don't want to know, you know, don't want to know your Jesus. And I could, in that prayer, I could sense like the God's heart as a father for his creation who were rejecting him and what was going on in his heart. Imagine that. It's like, and as I continued to watch this whole scene and continued to pray, the higher I went up, the more that was happening. And it was, but I knew it wasn't just me praying. What I felt the Lord saying is, Clive, you're embodying the church. I'm calling the church to come to me and to pray in this way. And as the church ascends in prayer, the release of God as we go will be phenomenal. Amen. And what I saw was these highways of holiness going out and the river of salvation coming from his throne was then running on the highway of holiness into the nations. And therefore it was going into every community, town and village. And so it's not just that when we come to pray in this way, we're just praying for the nations all the time. We have a responsibility for Crawley, for Horsham, for Burgess Hill, for Worthing, for this 25-mile radius that God has spoken to us about as a church. We have a responsibility to get up that mountain, be on and in God, and to give ourselves in prayer in this way for the breakthroughs that God wants to bring into Crawley, the breakthroughs for Horsham or Burgess Hill or for Brighton or for wherever else God wants us to go. Are you there? Are you with me? And so as I was still, just to finish, because I know we've got to finish, the end of this vision, while I was still praying, God said three things to me so clearly. He said, awaken the church, awaken the house of prayer. Awaken the house of prayer. It was like, wow. And it was like God saying, Clive, Kingdom Faith, awake, 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 awake. You think you're awake, but there's another level of being awake than you know and that you've seen and you've experienced. Wake up, O sleeper. You know, it was like Kingdom Faith, awake, awake, awake to the bell I'm ringing from heaven to get your attention, to give yourself to my purposes. And it was like, wow. And he said, awake the house of prayer. And immediately I thought about the story where Jesus, he goes into Jerusalem on the donkey. They're all praising him, Hosanna in the highest. And he goes in and he clears the temple out, doesn't he? Of all the money changes and everything. What is he doing? He's clearing the temple out of all the distractions. Everything that was getting in the way of that place being a house of prayer. And God is working in his church at this time. He's working in your life, my life. He's working in us at the moment to clear everything out that is a distraction, that gets in the way of being. We are now the house of prayer. He's getting rid of everything. When you read those verses, it's amazing in Matthew. Firstly, he clears out this house of, he clears everything out, right? The next thing that happens is it says the blind and the lame came to him and they were healed. So miracles began to break out, right? When everything's cleared out, and the place is restored to what it's supposed to be, miracles break out. But also in that moment, what I felt the Lord say reading that and in that what I was praying was where it says the blind and the lame came to him, that God wants to open our eyes in a fresh way. As we give ourselves in prayer in that way, we're going to see things in a way we've not seen them. And also, the lame came to him. And when God works in us and deals with all the distractions, all the things that cause us to be lame, right? He wants to open our eyes in a fresh way and deal with everything that might be a distraction and get in the way so that we can move with him in the way that he wants us to move with him. The next thing that happened in that, the children began to declare and cry out, Hosanna, you know, to the Son of David. And the religious people got annoyed. They were angry. It's like, shut those children up, because they were declaring that Jesus was the Messiah in that moment. And so one of the things I felt God say is we give ourselves in this way to the Lord and pray in this way, there's a release in the next generation. There's a revelation that comes to our children in a fresh way, fresh encounters for the kids, a fresh revelation for the kids of who Jesus is. And they begin to declare, Hosanna, the Son of David. That's who God is. That's who Jesus is. So it's not just if we give ourselves in this way, or a few people get saved. It's to do with the harvest. It's to do with the next generation. It's to do with the release of signs and wonders. It's to release us moving with the Holy Spirit. All the religious spirits were kicking off everywhere. Why? Because they cannot stay when God is at work and God is on the move. Then, so as well as awaken the house of prayer, the next thing he said to me was the bride prepares herself. We are the bride of Christ. The Western church, in the West, we think the church is the bride. That's half of the bride, okay? The church is half the bride. The other half are the Jewish people that give their lives to Jesus, okay? When Jesus came, he came first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. When Jesus was born, the wise men came to look for him and say, where is the one born king of the Jews? When he died on the cross, what was the inscription on the top of the cross? King of the Jews, okay? So, he came with the gospel of the kingdom. Who's the king of the kingdom? Jesus. So he came first for the Jew to be king of the Jews, and then he came also for the Gentiles, right? So that any Gentile that comes into the kingdom, he becomes their king as well. Ephesians talks about one new man in Christ, Jew and Gentile, who come into Christ, who are born again, that is the bride, okay? So when I felt the Lord say, the bride prepares herself. If you're a bride, you're going to get married. You are pretty focused on getting married, right? Anybody married here? Okay. And when you were getting married, if you're the lady, you were pretty focused on getting ready. You didn't want distractions and this and that, and the other getting in the way. I want my day to be perfect. I want to make sure when I walk on that aisle, my groom at the end of the front there, his jaw's going to drop and he's going to be like, wow, isn't she beautiful? Right? And part of this consecration is part of us as the bride getting ready. Part of praying on this mountain is us getting ready. Part of then living on the highway of holiness is us living ready for the return of the King. Is this all right this morning? The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. He's moving by spirit in a fresh way, but the King is coming. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back, right, in the next years. He might not come back in our lifetime. I don't know. There are more and more people sensing that, wow, this is imminent because of what's going on in the world and everything else, right? But Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25, 24 particularly, he talks about live today as if he's coming back. Live today as if he's coming back. And that's how he wants us to live. So awaken the house of prayer. The bride prepares herself. And that also means we pray for the Jewish people. Tomorrow's October the 7th. It will be the first anniversary of the attack that happened by Hamas a year ago tomorrow. And And we know that God loves everybody, whether Palestinian, Jew, Arab, Asian, South American, whoever they are. God loves people. He died once and he died for all. He loves the Jewish people. He's not forgotten them, rejected them. Okay? And the gospel first, where did it come first? Jerusalem. Where did it go to the ends of the earth from? Jerusalem. Where's Jesus coming back to? Jerusalem. One foot on the Mount of Olives and one on the Temple Mount. Okay? And that's where he's coming back to. So the gospel in Jerusalem goes to the nations, then it comes back to Jerusalem. Biblically, Romans 11, 25, it talks about, this is what Paul says, brothers, I don't want you to remain ignorant. Ignorant of what? And what he says in there is that Israel, and the word Israel there in that verse means the Jewish people, they have been blinded in part, it says there, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. What does that mean? Until all the Gentiles that are going to be born again have come in, then there's going to be a whole influx of Jewish people that are going to be born again. Now, there are Jewish people giving their lives to the Lord in the times we're in. There's a growing number in Israel already, Jewish people, because they're blinded in part. And so there's a harvest going on in the nations right now. That whole, and this is why we've got to give ourselves to prayer, because there's a harvest in Crawley that God wants to bring in this town. There's some principalities and powers that need to be overcome in this town. There's one verse that I want to read to you. Just one verse, okay? Hopefully I can find it. Listen to this. Proverbs 21, verse 22. Why is this so important that we are a praying people? And the warrior filled, this is Proverbs 21, 22. The warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place in the spirit and releases breakthrough, bringing down strongholds of the mighty. Wow. Don't you love that verse? Wow. So we are those warriors. We're the people filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody believe this stuff? Yeah. Anybody believe this at the back? You guys that have just come in, anybody believe it? We are those people filled with the Spirit of God who, when we come together and we pray, whether in twos and threes and we pray in this way, or as a congregation praying this way, or as a church we pray in this way, we're going in up there in the spirit, and there are strongholds, there are shifts, there are all sorts of things that are dealt with in there. So there's a release of God on earth because there's a victory being won in the spirit. Are you there? And so we're not just here as a congregation to have a Sunday meeting where we just turn up and we sort of, yeah, hopefully it'll be good today, and whoever's going to be doing something, hopefully they're on it. And they've been praying and got ready, and hopefully they're going to bring us a good word this morning that's going to bless us. We need to have a completely different way of thinking about who we are as a people. Hear there? We need to kick out any go-to church thinking that we have. I'm just going to go to church on Sunday. Just get rid of that thinking, right? God is dealing with the go-to church model mentality in the Western church. And what he wants us to be living is living a making disciples lifestyle. Living the Great Commission. People of prayer and people who are going in our lives. Amen? Amen. Can we just stand together? Okay. I want us to stand together. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you how you see who you are as a believer and how you see what you are part of. And rather than seeing this as a Sunday morning meeting, what we want to see it as is when we come together, it's a gathering of the warriors. Can you hear me this morning? We've got to think about who we are in a completely different way. This Western church mindset, I go to church and we have a bit of worship and somebody's going to talk and it'll be great. We'll have a cup of tea afterwards. No, we need to see ourselves as an apostolic sent people, who we, a bunch of warriors in the spirit, when we gather, whether it's on a Sunday, in a home, for a meeting, wherever it is, for whatever it is, we come together in this way because we're here to see God's kingdom come into Crawley in a way that it needs to, because there are other things operating here. So we're on the face of that mountain in prayer, but we're also living on the highway of holiness in the harvest. And so if for any of us, we have thought about church in a certain way, I go to church. And this isn't telling you off this morning, okay, what I'm going to say now. In order to help us gather, we say, hey, let's gather at 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, we're going to worship, we're going to pray, we're going to be warriors. We're not here just to have a couple of songs and a bit of a preach. We're coming together for kingdom business. And I want to encourage you to get here before 10 o'clock. Because it's important that we need to understand who we are in the spirit. Don't just look at things with natural eyes. Oh, it's a meeting, it's Sunday morning, yeah, you know, I'll get there. You know, they'll carry on anyway, even if I'm not there. That, if we think like that, it shows we don't understand what we're part of, who we are, what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And I believe God wants to, there's some adjustments, some corrections, there's some realigning that God wants to do in our hearts and minds to understand we're a bunch of warriors. We're the family of God here. We're the family of God here on family business because we're in a kingdom that has no equal and no rival. And when we come together and we worship, we pray, we believe, things shift in the spirit. There must be a different atmosphere over not just my life, but over this town and what God wants to release in here in terms of the gospel, in terms of deliverance, in terms of salvation, in terms of healings and a move of God in Crawley. Amen. That's why we're here. That's why we are who we are, to be living in a move of God in this town. Where any other demonic spirit or operation cannot stand up against the Spirit of God that is at work in amongst the people who believe who they are in God and why we're here and what we're all about. Amen? Amen. So just thank Him. Father, I thank You. You've called me here. Thank You. You've called me here by name to be part of Kingdom Faith, to be part of this apostolic people, a people who ascend the mountain of the Lord in prayer, in worship, someone who lives on the highway of holiness for the harvest. I thank You. You've not called me here by mistake. You've called me here by Your design and for Your purposes. I thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And some of that awakening is what we've been talking about this morning, just to remind us, to awaken us. Right, thanks, Clive. Thanks, because this is what God's doing in my life at the moment. This is what He's doing in Kingdom Faith. Awake, 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 awake. Make sure everybody is fully awake to who He is in a fresh way and to what He's saying and doing, and that the need of the hour is to give ourselves to Him at this day. We're not here as to add God on somewhere in our lives, somewhere when it's convenient. We're here for Him to be up front and center. You are Lord. You're in charge. You're number one. My life is hidden in You. My life is given to You. My life is filled with You, led by You. I don't want to be led or filled by anybody else for anything else. I want to be full and led by You for Your purposes. Yes. And what does the Bible say? When we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, everything else will be added to you. You don't have to try and do the adding. If you put Him center, number one, on the throne, in charge, He will make sure everything else is provided for and looked after. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Will you trust Him? Thank you, Jesus. Just thank the Lord that you're here this morning. Father, I thank you I'm here this morning. Thank you I'm here. Some of you might think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go, but oh, you did last minute. But just thank him you're here, because your life matters in God's purposes. Your life matters in God's purposes. Your prayer matters. Your faith matters. The way you live matters. We are in urgent days, urgent days. And God is calling the church awaken and alive to him and all that he wants to do in this town, in this region, in this nation and beyond. So, Father, I thank you for your grace. Just ask him, Father, as I respond to you and give myself to you in a fresh way, I thank you for your grace that enables me to live in the way you want me to. I thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Hey, guys, we are not just a few people, a little congregation in a lovely school hall, on a school in the edge of Horsham somewhere, doing a religious activity on a Sunday morning. We are the people of God. Just say to someone, look at someone and say, we are the people of God. And we're here on God's kingdom business. Amen. 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 How many of you love Jesus? Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It didn't take many after the day of Pentecost to start turning things upside down, all right? Don't think, oh, we need to be a few hundred people to make a difference. Start where we are and move forwards. That's, amen? Amen? Bless you guys. Love you a lot, right? We are praying, Jane and I, at the moment, we are praying a lot for who we are as a people, okay? And God is doing some stuff. There's a bit of shaking, a bit of challenge, okay? But it's so, so important at this time because of who he's called us to be and that we fulfill the mandate that God has given us as a people. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for your love for Crawley, that you would continue to just release such a love for the people, no matter what religion they are, what faith they have or none. We thank you that we would see people with your eyes of love, first of all, and that that would take us to the place of prayer as well as the place of sharing the gospel with people in their lives. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.